You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Because we've got a wonderful guest in the studio, kia ora David White. How are you this morning?
Kia ora, I'm really well, thank you.
It's exciting to have you in here talking about a brand new TV show that you have created called Far North. It's got a very stacked cast, first off the bat. Temuera Morrison, Robin Malcolm, that's pretty flash double bill you've got there. And a pretty exciting, wild, based in reality story that you're exploring. Tell us a wee bit about Far North as a TV show.
Some of you may remember in 2016 there was this insanely crazy drug bust in Ahipata, and it was 500 kilograms worth of meth, and it was a boat sitting on a beach. There was camper vans, there was kind of insanity had ensued around it, and there was this one article that I read, and it said there was a real life couple that had been embroiled in it, and I was like, oof. Man, I'm fascinated because normally I felt there was more to the story, because normally when a bust like that happens, cops are yelling from the tree trunks, high T-tops, the skyscrapers, that they did so much, that they were so good. And in this one, it was like, oh, you know, a couple of cops did a thing. And so I drove to Ahipata and I found the real life Ed and Heather, who were played by Tim and Robin. And I sat down with them. And I just knocked on their door. I sat down with them. They told me their story, and the story is so insane that you couldn't have made it up. And after 2 hours, I went, can I buy your life rights?
Yeah,
it is. I literally, you know, there's a book that goes out with the show as well, and I wrote in the foreword of the book, it was like my Tiger King meets Fargo, because it's so crazy.
It is one of those things where when you sort of start to read the synopsis, it's a... First of all, kind of an only in New Zealand ridiculousness that I sort of felt. I was like, this sort of French farce of a drug bust would only happen in the far north of Aotearoa, like some far-flung beach. This would, you know, perfect setting for that. And then also, if you didn't say it was based on a true story, it's almost unbelievable the kind of like chaos that ensues in this. So how did you go from talking to this couple and then trying to tease it into something that could be, you know, a narrative? It feels like it was kind of a golden egg almost in some ways.
It was sort of a golden egg. Like you get a sense for stories. You know, I've made a lot of docos in my life as well. And the thing about it is that once I'd heard that story, I was like, oh man, they have their story. And then we waited until it had gone through the courts. And then I sat in the courtrooms, and then I went and read thousands of pages of court records. And as you're reading the court records, it gets even more crazy because you're hearing it from the other side.
Wow.
Because obviously they get caught, that's why we know there was a drug bust. So you're listening to all of their side and what they were doing. And there's this, like, I just was like, holy mother of God. Like there's the customs officer scene in the show, and when it's verbatim, like I didn't rewrite it and I put it into the script. And it was longer in the original, but I had to cut it down, so go buy the book because it's all in the book. But in the show, and then the network execs overseas were like, man, that's some good writing. And I was like, yeah, I didn't write it. It's like literal transcript. And that's like the thing about the show is, yes, okay, so the characters are my interpretation of them.
Totally.
Like, but all of 90% of the events that happen in the show really did happen.
Wow.
Yeah, and so like there's this kind of... Like, it's a thing that we've talked about a lot through the process of making, that you probably wouldn't be allowed to make the show if it wasn't based on a true story.
Totally.
Because everyone would go, no, too far.
Yeah.
And that's why that statement, stranger than fiction, is such a big thing, because it really is, yeah, when you start to get into those things.
Totally. And, I mean, it does feel like the kind of story that merits such a incredible cast that you have got pulling these off, particularly with Tim and Robin. What were the conversations you had with them about embodying those characters? Because there's a different weight that comes with performing a real person's story as well, even if it is, you know, an interpretation or a version of somebody. How did you guys go about that conversation and that process?
Well, the real life couple were involved heavily in the making of the show, so they were on set every day with Tim and Robin. Once we'd cast them, like, I'd spent a lot of time in Ahipata, living up there, riding up there, hanging out with these people, walking their dogs, going aqua aerobics. It was a dream. It's been a really beautiful gig for me, because, you know, like, I really did go and hang out with the real life couple a lot. Like, we've been fishing, as I say. Like, I would go every Monday and Wednesday to Aqua Aerobics, which is what Heather's job is.
Yeah.
That and making sauces. And so when, like, I had a really good idea about these people already, and then when Tim and Robin turned up on the scene, we hung out for a dinner, and I just let them talk. Like, I think Tim and I hadn't met at that point, and so we'd met for 30 seconds, basically. And he must have thought that I was the most silent human, because I just sat, because I'm like, well, I need you guys to all bond in a very beautiful way. And they did, and like Tim and Robin really embodied those people in a beautiful way. And the weight of it, I've talked to both of those people about this, and they were like, it was really, the weight of those people was important, but also having them there hanging out and being like, did this really happen like this? And they'd be like, yeah. And then if there was a performance that wasn't quite right, I could always go, hey, Tim, more like Ed.
Yeah.
And he'd sort of know it as well.
Totally.
It's a beautiful thing. Tim's performance is really, well, both of them are, but it's like nothing you've seen Tim do before.
That's
it's
so exciting.
Soft. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. I feel like they're both such storied actors, and they have such an incredible career behind them that anything you see them attached to is always exciting. But this particular project, the kind of rambling nature of the story is so fascinating that, you know, having these faces anchor it feels really significant. But you've got an incredible cast that of, you know, other well-recognized faces and a bunch of great up-and-comers. Who else has been involved in this project, David?
Well, I think the one thing I'd like to talk about is the Chinese cast, because this is a global story in that where the drugs came from, they do come from China. And this is the first series in New Zealand on primetime TV that has about 25% Mandarin.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing that I got to be part of that. And I have a really beautiful, spiritually and human-wise, co-director called Ming Jing, who's a Chinese born and lives in New Zealand. And so she worked really closely with me with the writing of it and then with the directing on set with it. And so we've got these beautiful, amazing Chinese characters doing work in this country like they've never done before. Then we have this whole Tongan contingent of young men and a young woman who are just stunning. Like, all of those actors have just kind of knocked it out of the park. And
totally.
And Tim continually just talks about how beautiful it was to work with all these people, and then how he's just like so excited about the next generation of actors that are coming through.
Totally. Yeah. It's a really exciting process. I was recognizing heaps of faces from the Panthers show that was on recently, and also Red, White and Brass, which is always quite hard to say when you're thinking the words out loud. Amazing film as well. And then heaps of the crew from Creamery, and just like, it's a really cool group of people you've got involved to tell this story, and just an incredible story to get stuck into. And it's all starting tonight. Is that right?
Yeah, so three episodes drop on 3Now, which is a Channel 3's, I guess, I can watch it now service. And then at 8:30 on Channel 3, the first episode drops if you want to watch it on normal television.
I think there's something good about doing that, you know, get the kind of live action, real takes on Twitter at the same time conversation going on. And the book as well. When can people get their hands on the book?
Right now. Like, it's out. So because the story was so insane and then we had so much research, but you have to kind of condense a lot of it down, we were like, oh, well, let's write a book. So there's a guy called Angus Gilley, who's a news producer at TV3 as well. He and I wrote a book together. And I would suggest you watch the show, then read the book.
Cool.
Because the stories that you read in that book, like when I was rewriting it a few weeks ago, I was like, oh, that's right. I went back to being the initial research thing and being like, oh, that's right. This is more insane than I remember it.
Yeah.
And there's kind of these backstories about how much meth is in this country. Like, there's a story that's not in the show that's quite early in the book, so I'll just tell you it. There's a guy that drove to Palmerston North dropped off bags of meth at the Briscoe's, I think it's Briscoe's warehouse, one of those big chain stores, bags of meth, and then they handed him literal buckets of money. So those white pails of buckets.
Does.
Yeah, like, and then they drove that back to Auckland. Like, you're not talking about small sums of cash.
It's crazy.
Like, it's actually insane. And a lot of that stuff, which you can't put in the show, otherwise it would be 45 hours long.
Yeah.
Is in this kind of backstory about how these characters got there and are involved, you know. And I think there's a, I think that one of the things that I wrote is that the thing that made me kind of like my eyes open is the amount of money is eye watering, like millions of dollars. Like, one guy was counting $850,000 by hand in his auntie's bedsit or something like that.
Yeah, oh my god.
Yeah.
Wow. So much to unpack. Very excited to watch this show tonight. Far North. David White, thank you so much for coming in and speaking with us this morning. Congrats on the series and on the book. Really interesting story.
Yeah, thanks so much.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.